am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is a lot of brains, but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word I drop.
One of the songs from maybe the biggest show on Broadway in a decade, Hamilton, an American musical. The show went on to win, Pulitzer Prize. It won a Grammy Award. It's won 11 Tony Awards for the show itself, for its writer, creator, for its original star, Lin-Manuel Miranda. And this week, Hamilton, an American musical opened here in Chicago at the Private Bank Theater and is pretty much in an open run. Tickets are sold through September of 2017, and that's likely to go on for several years. But is the show worth it? People, you know, stood in line for hours and hours and hours to get tickets. People are paying top-notch prices for Hamilton tickets, maybe as much as people might be paying for Cubs World Series tickets. The lines very, very similar for both. Is it all worth it? I saw the official opening the other night, as did our panel of guests this morning, other Chicago area theater critics, including Chris Beyer, who is senior editor, chief theater critic, Time Out Chicago. And I'm guessing from your tweets, Chris, Cubs fan also.
You guess right. Yeah, it's a pretty exciting week all around here.
I love your tweet from, I guess, last night. Please don't burn down Wrigleyville tonight. We've got to play another series there. It's a perfect tweet, Chris. Perfect tweet.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Also joining Chris back at our WGN studios is our pal Phil Potempa, critic-at-large, entertainment columnist for the Post-Tribune of Northwest Indiana. And Phil, welcome. Good to have you here with us. I'm hoping you've got some Cubs love also.
Yes, exactly. Even though I live on the south side by Midway, we had lots of fireworks going off as well. So we were right there with it.
Well, that's good to hear. I've gotten quite a few tweets from people who are Sox fans who are happy because Chicago's in it. You know, there's a Chicago team in it. Some people are happy. I've had a few that are not so polite or happy about it all. But for the most part, I think the majority of the Sox fans that I've heard from are happy for their Northside brothers. And also our pal Betty Moore, who's the editor of Le Bon Travel and Culture. Hi, Betty. How are you?
Good, Dean. How are you?
Are you a Cubs
realize
fan?
What this means. If the Cubs win the World Series, you know that famous play about the Cubs where they lose every year, they're not going to be able to play it anymore.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of that old school Cubs thinking.
That's true.
Yeah, but what a week this has been with Hamilton opening in Chicago and this happening. It's been just a crazy busy whirlwind.
You asked the right question, though, Dean. Is it worth it? Is it worth those tickets?
And if you're asking me that question, and I'm not sure you were, but I'm going to answer anyway.
Yes, go ahead.
I think it is so worth it. I think it is. It really does live up to all the hype. And I came into this thinking there is no possible way, no matter how good this is, with all the hype that's around the show and people waiting for days in line, that this show could possibly live up to the hype, and I think it absolutely does. Anybody agree with me?
You know what? Here, I'm torn a little bit. I'll tell you why. One, I think it's a super show. I think it's fantastic, okay? I think the direction, the choreography, the music, the lyrics, and everything is fantastic. But I do have a big quibble with it. If Hamilton, I mean, Miranda based this loosely on the Cherno book, but he made one, I think it's kind of an inaccuracy also that people might come away with. if Hamilton had had his way, America would have been a totally different country. He was in favor of a British monarchy, a king. He thought that that the president and the senator should be voted in for life, which is why he had such an opposition for Jefferson. None of that is in the play. So it's as far as the theatrical entertainment, it's terrific. But it doesn't, you know what, I don't quite think it has the emotional depth of something like Les Mis. And as far as the tickets go, I think this frenzy over the tickets and getting to see it is a little bit crazy. I mean, people are paying, what, $500, $600 to see tickets, to see a show like this? And even if they go to the balcony or the mezzanine, you can't see anything from up there, by the way. The nosebleed, you miss out on a lot of choreography. So, you know what, if the prices were more like $150, I would say, yeah, it's really worth $150, maybe $180.
Okay, so let's see what the guys think. Chris, how about you?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that number, Betty, because I first saw the show in New York, the Broadway production, about a year ago, and I paid $180 for my seat there. And I only did that because I anticipated how big of a hit the show was going to be. And so I bought tickets before it opened on Broadway, about 6 months out, before I actually saw it in November. The same seat that I sat in a year ago at the Richard Rogers Theater on Broadway is now going for, like, I think $849 face value.
You are very, very prescient. I mean, that was very prescient of you. The thing is that look at what media can do. Look at what buzz can do. Look at what hype can do. You can go from $180 to $860 just because of the buzz and the hype.
Yeah, I will say, though.
Supply and demand, though. But, how did you compare, Chris, the New York production to this one that we had here? I think it's pretty strong.
I absolutely agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of hype around this show, obviously, but I think it's incredibly well-deserved. I think that this show, as a, you know, history aside, obviously there are going to be some elisions and all of that, but I think as a piece of musical theater, it is transformative. It's, I won't say revolutionary, because, you know, we'll see what kind of lasting effect it may have on the genre, on the form, but I think it is a singular achievement and really incredible in the way that it humanizes these guys, the founding fathers, who we think of, I think, you know, in kind of oil painting terms, right? And the way that the show manages to bring them into modern vernacular and make them seem like real fallible people, sometimes noble, sometimes petty, transforming themselves from rebels into statesmen in a way that's relatable to modern audiences is an incredible achievement, I think. And speaking to your question, Dean, I think that the cast that we have in Chicago is absolutely stands up to the original Broadway cast that I saw last year. I think there's some incredible talent on stage. Miguel Cervantes, who plays Hamilton, is a little more grounded, I thought, than Lin-Manuel Miranda, who played the role originally. I think Joshua Henry, who's playing Aaron Burr here, is an incredible talent.
Incredible.
I mean, he's
showstopper. Showstopper.
Absolutely. He's already been nominated for, you know, Tony Award twice, so we know he's got the chops, but he really just lays into this role and makes it his own with a different kind of charisma than Leslie Odom Jr., who won the Tony for the Broadway production of Hamilton, and of course Karen Olivo, who is kind of retired from Broadway and is now living in Madison, Wisconsin, but has a relationship with Lin-Manuel Miranda and the rest of the team who she worked on In the Heights with, and is now playing Angelica Schuyler in the Chicago production, because she's like, yeah, I can commute from Madison to Chicago. And how lucky for us that she is, because she's just a phenomenal talent and
yeah.
Really, I'm ready to go back and hear her sing Satisfied again right now.
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait to see it again, seriously, because I think the show rushes over you so quickly as it's happening. It's just relentless energy and creativity coming over you. And but as Chris is saying, these characters are so humanized. You know, most of the music is hip-hop, rap, R&B, something that you quickly acclimate yourself to if you're not a huge fan of hip-hop music. It's very easy to follow. It's a very interesting way of telling this story. But you're just it's a tsunami wave of energy that flies over you. But at the same time, you're laughing. And there are some moments in this humanization that are so touching and so beautiful that, you know, you're welling up a little bit. With the emotion of it all. I think it works in so many ways. Phil Potempa from the Post Tribune, Northwest Indiana, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I like to write with a voice as a critic's eye and an ear that is of the casual theater goer. So this is something that is a production inviting people that maybe don't usually go to the theater. And that's why, of course, when we talk about the hype, it's drawing so many people to see this because they're curious. And that in itself is a wonderful thing because it's bringing these new bodies into the theater. And one of my favorite parts of the opening was at the intermission. I stayed at my seat. How many people around me were Googling and looking up the names of these historical figures that they maybe had just a casual, perhaps, understanding right. of, but not anything in any depth. And it certainly plants that seed. And there's no denying that a cast that's having to sing an entire story and do it in such a way that it relates and connects to the audience is you know, certainly something that is a phenomenon that you don't usually get. So, you know, it is fantastic in that way.
What did you think of the performances, the production? You see, as we all do, see, you know, lots and lots of shows, lots and lots of productions. Most notably, shows that are hits in New York that go on the road, and you get generally a really scaled-down version of that show when it open someplace out of town. I don't think we saw that with this, with Hamilton in Chicago. I think they came here full guns a-blazing. What do you guys think?
Well, exactly. And one of the things I think was so interesting was talking to another theater insider, and they were saying the staging itself is really rather stark, and it really puts the highlight and the emphasis on the performances. But in 20 years from now, when this finally does make its way to other venues, it's something that's going to be able to be done, and it's going to translate. Of course, you're going to have a talented cast to deliver those lyrics and the songs. But the theater companion I brought with, again, was not a theater person, but was absolutely stunned, and I thought it was fascinating. I had already bought the soundtrack months ago because it's the music and the songs that certainly do pull people into this as well.
Yeah, I think to that point, Phil, I absolutely agree that you know, this the scale of this production, the physical production, you can tell that this is a production that they have built for this theater, for the Private Bank Theater, to last for as long as, you know, people will buy tickets. There are, as you said, Dean, they're already on sale right now through next September, and you know, we're all expecting it to be here much beyond that. It'll be interesting to see when the show does actually build a touring company, a road company, you know, how some of that does get scaled back. You know, the turntable on the stage is an integral part of the staging. You know, it is a very it's a large cast. It's you know, a lot of costumes. They're launching another company next spring in Los Angeles, I believe, that will then go on to San Francisco and eventually become the touring company. So that'll be interesting to see. But I also, you know, just to Phil's other point, I talked to Lin-Manuel Miranda for our for Time Out's fall print issue a few months back, and you know, one of the things that he really kind of marveled at in our conversation was the way that so many people who have yet to see this show, to enter, set foot in the theater, have fallen in love with the show because of the cast recording, which is, you know, one of it's the largest selling cast recording in years and years and years, and certainly the first ever to hit number one on the Billboard rap chart. So that phenomenon is really interesting to me, too.
Did anybody like that? George Washington?
Oh, I loved him.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was the best. I thought he was the funniest character in the show. And what, you know, something, though, when you were talking about getting close to, you know, humanity of the show and the people that, you know, they connect with, John Lawrence was a very good friend of Hamilton, and in the show, when he dies, Hamilton looks a little bit disturbed, okay, but in reality, they were so close that people actually questioned their intimacy, and when he died, Hamilton was totally devastated. I guess the show wouldn't have the time, you know, to do that. It was going by so fast. You know what? I liked George the best. I thought that the character that was playing, the actor that was playing Jefferson, I think Jefferson was a little buffoonish. Am I wrong about that? That's how I was taking it.
I thought he was funny. I liked him. I've heard people say that this week. It's a little bit of comic relief in the show. But I have heard people say that. I enjoyed the Jefferson character. But talking about comic relief, can we talk about King George, who is truly the comic relief in the show.
He was the most hysterical character.
Hilariously
loved him.
Funny.
Yeah. He was, the lines were great.
I'm out of time, so I got a dash. But so thumbs up for the show from everybody? Is that right?
Yeah, I would, even if I have quibbles, which I always do, Dean, yes, thumbs up.
Yes, and yeah. Dean, I'll tell you one thing. I still teach a couple of college classes. The number one topic that college students say that bores them is history and golf on TV, and there are young people at the theater with this. So we're in the right direction here.
Oh, please tell me that there's not going to be a golf.
There will be a golf show.
That's the day that I retire. Good Lord. And Betty, I got to say, I'm really impressed with your American history here. We're going to have to save that for another conversation.
My biggest problem is that people don't know history. So this might be good.
Young people
this will be their gateway to read the actual biography, right?
Yes, definitely.
Exactly.
And
right.
Dean, I just want to say lastly, notice unlike the presidential candidates, how polite we were. We did not talk over each other. We were very polite critics to each other.
You know what? Dean doesn't like that. Dean would have liked it if we had gotten in a fight, the three of us.
I do enjoy conflict. I'm not proud of it, but I do enjoy conflict.
Of course.
Betty, that's why I love having Betty on the show so much. Betty Moore from Le Bon Travel and Culture. Chris Vier, Cubs fan and senior editor, chief theater critic, Time Out Chicago, and critic at large, entertainment columnist for the Post Tribune of Chicago, Phil Potempa. Thank you all very much.